Ding. What? The fruit of the Spirit, haven't we? All right. Go to Galatians 5:22. The Bible's all just flop open to that page now. Galatians 5:22. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, and it says in the Amplified, the work which His presence within accomplishes. Don't you know that this fruit that you have inherited by the Holy Spirit when you were born again, you think, well, I don't know if I can walk in all that. He's not asking you to do it on your own, by yourself. The Holy Spirit's been given to you to give you the power to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Yeah. And so we need to depend on the Holy Spirit to help us to walk in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, if you're walking in those things, not even the devil can condemn you. How would you like to walk like that? Nobody can hold a charge to you. Not a true charge to you. Now, you might have some faults. But blessed is he who is falsely accused. Amen. Wouldn't you like it that whenever somebody accuses you of something, it's a false accusation, and Jesus is going, you're blessed. You're blessed. Amen. The last and final is self-control. And this is the one that can be the toughest. Self-control. And I think in the King James it says temperance. It means disciplined. Self-control and discipline. And we live in a society who indulges in everything. If there ever is an earmark of our generation, is self-indulgence and a lack of self-control. And it's gotten us into more trouble and more trouble and more trouble. And I think just even in the last 9 months, the laws that have been passed in our government and the things that have been put upon us, you know, through legislation and all that kind of stuff, is just purely because of a lack of self-control. And people just want to indulge. And it's destructive. But we, as the body of Christ, as individuals, we have it within ourselves to have self-control, to have discipline in our lives. And I know this is probably a tough one. It's like going, oh man, we got to talk about being disciplined and have self-control. See, we need it, don't we? We need self-control. We need discipline in our lives, don't we? Go to 2 Peter 1:5. 2 Peter 1:5. Second Peter 1:5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted and even blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. These character traits are important, aren't they? Abounding in self-control makes you fruitful. Fruitful even in the knowledge of Jesus, in that you can walk and look like Jesus on the earth. And one of the things that he points out here is that self-control is one of those elements that we need not be barren or unfruitful in. And if we are, we're short-sighted and even blind. And short-sighted and blind, you know, just street talk on that is that you're in denial. And I don't mean a river in Egypt. That'll strike you later. But your problems may be directly related to a lack of self-control. I had some cousins that lived across the street from me. And see, my mom's going, oh boy, here it comes. They lived across the street from us, and self-control wasn't even on their radar screen. They moved from Jacksonville, Florida, and they moved in. And the older boys that were more my age and whatnot, and a little older, man, they had motorcycle gang, you know, jackets and motorcycle chain belts. And boy, I mean, they were out for dirt. They were out for blood. I mean, they had a chip on their shoulders, and there was no control. The world evolved around them. It's going to be their way or the highway. And I couldn't go anywhere with them. We go to the movie theater. And as we come out of the movie theater, this car in the parking lot races by us. I mean, just almost clips us. And Mike reaches out and takes his fist and goes wham on the hood as it goes by. It speeds on up there, and like five Letterman jackets jump out of the car. I went, we're dead. We are dead. Oh, no. Not Mike. Off comes the motorcycle chain belt, and he's marching towards them. And they're looking at this gorilla of a guy in this big old black leather jacket, and they all hop back in their car and lock the doors, you know. And he's beating the hood of the car going, come on out of here, come on. Out of control. I go to the mall with him. I couldn't even go to the mall with the guy. We're in there playing, you know, video games and stuff like this in there. And the next thing I know, he's got some guy slid up on the wall like this going, if you ever touch my brother again, I will kill you. We're done. This guy's out of control. So I'm telling you, self-control. But they got into trouble all the time. Every time they'd get a job, it was the boss's fault they got fired. It's never my fault. But they're out of control. Every time they couldn't get along with any neighbors around them. Why? It's the neighbor's fault. No, you're out of control. Some of you probably know relatives like that. Or maybe you've come out of that. Where you're just out of control. And you wonder, how come I can't keep a job? You're out of control. You need some discipline in your life. Amen. So now, you know, I mean, they grew up. Today they got jobs in the oil fields and all kinds of stuff. I mean, they're doing pretty good. But boy, back when they were, oh, I couldn't take them anywhere. So I stopped. Self-control, temperance, restraint, moderation, limits and boundaries. Now, there's no limit or boundaries to having a relationship with God. That is endless and boundless, the relationship you can have with God. But we need limits and boundaries on our flesh and what we do here on this earth. Amen. And I know I'm stepping on some toes. But you know, sometimes we need to take a check of ourselves, don't we? And say, am I in control? Am I disciplined in my life? If the problems that I'm having right now could be is that I'm just not in control. Habitual moderation in the indulgence of the appetites or passions. This is what we need. Let's go to Acts chapter 24. And let's see if Paul thought that this was important to have self-control. Acts 24, as you're turning there, let me read a little history here so you kind of have a little background on this. This was, I got this from the Antiquities of the Jews, book 20, chapter 7, section 1 through 2, in case you want the reference on this. Paul had been to Jerusalem. He got into trouble there. They were accusing him. The Jews were accusing him of rioting and causing a problem. They wanted to apprehend him. There in Jerusalem, the authorities grabbed Paul away and ushered him off to Caesarea so he could be in the custody of Felix. so that he could have a trial apart from the mob that was going on in Jerusalem. And so they were waiting for Ananias, the high priest, and some other accusers to come down to Caesarea, and they were going to have a trial. And Felix was going to administer this. He was going to be the judge on this. So Felix is the governor of Caesarea. Felix met Drusilla, who was his wife. He fell madly in love with her, and with the aid of a fake musician, convinced her to leave her husband and marry him contrary to all Jewish law. So he was quite out of control, and his wife was too. Drusilla was said to have possessed great beauty. She was a beautiful woman. So, like, you know, remember Abraham and Sarah? I mean, Abraham was afraid that when he went down into Egypt, his wife of 60-something years old would cause him to be killed, and the Egyptian king, the Pharaoh, would want to take her into his kingdom. That's how beautiful she was, even at that age. And I guess she was a very, very beautiful woman, much like my wife. Oh, yeah. Wow. All right. All right. You can see that we think alike, don't we? All right. So Felix and Drusilla had one son named Agrippa, who perished with Drusilla in the eruption in Pompeii. And that's the account the Antiquities of the Jews make of that, is that he actually lost his wife and his son at Pompeii. Anyway, so we know the background of Felix and Drusilla, and they were pretty carnal for Jews. And so this is what Paul was up against here. And so Felix calls him into council. He says, okay, after some days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about, this is Paul, he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. And in the next verse it says that he was hoping for a bribe to release him. He was hoping that Paul would give him a bribe. Just as a side note, this idea of, you know, Paul was a poor pauper that journeyed from city to city and barely made it through. Look, a governor is rich. And if he thought Paul had enough money to bribe him to release him, Paul must have had some wealth. Amen. He was not a poor pauper. The guy had some money. And it had to be enough to impress a governor. Amen. But I want you to notice here that Felix had the power to release him from this whole deal, or he had the power to say, guilty, and you're going to be killed. And what does Paul do? He doesn't mealy-mouth around and go, oh, Felix, you're just such a wonderful guy. Oh, don't you just love me? And what can I do to soft-soap you so that so that when Ananias comes down and accuses me, you'll be on my side? He could have given him a bribe. He could have done a lot. But instead, what does he do? He reasons, in other words, he preaches righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. And Felix is going, oh my God, I'm violating all this stuff. So in other words, Paul is willing to risk his life to share with these two, with this couple, you need self-control. So as I risk that today, telling you about self-control. It's important, isn't it? Self-control. We need self-control. Paul thought it was very important. Look at someone. By and large, our society is out of control. Have you heard of the affluenza teen? Affluenza teen. I got some heads that are nodding. Huh? Philosophy. Yeah. That. What it is that there was this teen. And as a teenager, he DUI'd and killed four people. And in the process of doing that, his defense was, well, I was raised by a rich family and they didn't teach me right from wrong, so I'm not responsible. And believe it or not, the judge went, well, then we'll just put you on probation. So we don't want to ever catch you anywhere around alcohol, period, or you're going to jail. Can you imagine? You can make a out of control. And that's his defense. Well, I'm out of control because it's not my fault. So what happens? He's caught on a video at a drunken party. And so they decide, well, you violated your parole. We're going to pick you up. And he runs to Mexico. Is he out of control? Now whose fault is this? Is it the judge's fault now that he's at? But we allow these kind of excuses in our society because by and large, isn't everybody out of control? So why should we judge him? This is nuts. We need to be shining lights of people that are in control. Amen. We need to be looking like people that is in control, that's disciplined, so that we're shining lights in a confused, crazy world that we live in. It's just absolutely amazing. I mean, look at what we got here. We have ISIS destroying places of artifacts and historical sites. They're beheading people. They're out of control. This is the kind of world we live in. Use the word sex. Okay. Laws of that anything goes. When you start letting perverted sex become the normal here, then more perversion and more perversion and more perversion stacks upon the next. Do I have proof of that? Well, how about the society before the flood? One of the major problems they had was sex. Sexual perversion. Sodom and Gomorrah. Sexual perversion became the norm. The Roman Empire, one of the big reasons why they fell was because of sexual perversion that went on. Have we learned nothing? I wonder if we've learned anything at all. I don't have anything... You know, when people say that they don't see anything wrong with gay marriage, they're short-sighted and blind, according to the Word. They're short-sighted and blind. Let's go to Ephesians 2:1. Ephesians 2:1. We don't want to be short-sighted and blind. Ephesians 2:1. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all were once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, where by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Or they're out of control. And what happens here is that, you know, you think that people that are not born again, that are controlled by by this world, they think, well, you know, I don't need God. I'm my own man. According to this, you're not. There is a prince of the power of the air, that of darkness, that is controlling the life of people that don't know Christ. They're under the influence. But we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We're under the influence of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. We can walk in self-control when the whole world is going chaotic. and be a shining light to the public and be a testimony. We were controlled and led around by the prince, the power of the air. But now we are led by the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. They are still being led around, but you have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're not of this kingdom. Something we have lost is delayed gratification. Delayed gratification. Delayed gratification, this builds character and it helps us to practice self-control. Amen. I mean, even if you have an abundance, do we have to feed every desire that we have? We need to master self-control. We need to master. We live in a world, I owe it to myself and I want it right now. And in the process, we have debt and bankruptcy and kids that should get everything the parents should get. I mean, I know nowadays that when kids graduate from high school and they go get a job or they go into college or whatever, they think they should start their life off where the parents are today. It took decades to get there. And if they don't get it, then bless God, this ain't fair. And they go out there and they get in debt and they get all kinds of problems and all kinds of financial. It's ridiculous. But this is the self-indulgence that we've come to. Like kids in Walmart throwing themselves on the floor because they can't get what they want. And the parents go, shh, 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 here, I'll get it for you. Don't just, shh, shh, shh. And then when they grow up to be adults, I want that house, ah, I want that car. Ah. They look no different. They haven't learned self-control. They haven't learned that they don't need to gratify everything that comes down the pike. My wife can just be proud of me. I went to, she went with some of the girls to dinner. Was that Thursday night? Thursday night. And I told Cheris, while you're in the restaurant, I'm going to Best Buy. Oh, I love Best Buy. Oh. I walk in the door and I fling up my hands like I don't care. And I run to the store. Ah, man, in heaven they have to have Best Buy. This is the most awesome place. All the electronics and all of the technology and all the, man, this is so cool. I mean, when I get in there, it's like, do I have any money? Surely, I got to buy at least a thumb drive. I can't walk out of there with something. And I'm just like, oh, this is such a wonderful place. And then I get to the back of the store and there's all this high-tech stuff. I mean, I haven't been in Best Buy in a while, I guess, because I'm like going, oh, look at all the new stereo equipment from Europe and all that, you know. And I was in there for an hour and a half and didn't know it. Sheriff finally says, I'm ready to be picked up. I'm not ready. Come pick me up. I can't leave. But I walked out of there. I didn't buy nothing. An exercise in self-control. Give me a hand. Ah, oh, I came out of there going, wow, that's what that feels like, self-control. To walk out of Best Buy without buying anything at all. And it felt good. Man. And without my self-control. My wife being there to help me. She wasn't there to... Sheriff and I, we were years ago before we moved up here and all that kind of stuff. just to have something to do on the weekends, we would. This is back in that when Falcon, they were just starting to build houses and stuff out there. Meridian Ranch was being built out there, and there were just tons of builders out there, all kinds of. And so, just to have something to do, we would go see the model homes, and you know, and kind of, you know, and we'd walk through. Wow, wow. wouldn't this be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to live here? You know, they have it furnished. You sit on the couch. There was this one house, the basement was just gorgeous. And we're sitting on the couch and we're sitting there going, I can see myself walking around in here. Oh, this is nice. Oh, this is nice. And then we go home to our house and we go, oh, that was nice. That was nice. But you know what? We said, yeah, but we don't want to be in that kind of debt. Man, I mean, houses were expensive. And we were living we had 2.5 acres living in a house, and it was real affordable. So self-control kept us from going forward to buying that bigger, nicer, cooler house. Not realizing that God had a plan for us, and that was to go to Bible college. Had we gotten ourselves house poor like that, we'd have been in trouble when God called us to do this. I'm so thankful that we had self-control and did not indulge in it. Now, we could have. We could have sold that house, and we were making good paychecks back then. We could have afforded it and whatnot, but then we would have been strapped. And so because we maintained that self-control and we didn't do that, it afforded us the money and the resources to be able to come to Bible college. So I'm just so thankful. Self-control is so beneficial for our lives. It keeps us from getting in trouble, from overindulging in things that we really don't need. And you know, when we got home and said, oh, well, you know, this house isn't too bad. I mean, it's good. It keeps us warm, and I mean, it's nice. It was good. My wife's going, yeah, it was good. Yeah. That's about what it did. No, it was nice. But I'm so thankful because we were able to do what God called us to do later on. We had the resources to be able to do it. I remember in 1970, there was a commercial, a Fram commercial, Fram oil filters. Remember the mechanic? He would hold up the Fram oil filter and says, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. It'd do us good to have some self-control and change the oil filter. Change the oil in your car. Say, no, that's a pain. Just something simple in our lives is changing the oil in our car. Just be disciplined and do, just do it. Because I can tell you there are countless people I can attest to that have let the oil run out of their car and burned up the engine. Now, how much time does it take to get the oil changed versus now you're going to have to go out and get another car? See how self-control can benefit us? Be disciplined and change the oil in your car. Amen. Just something as simple as that. And obviously, that was quite the thing back in the 70s, people messing up, because you can pay me now, or you can pay me later. Man, when opportunity knocks at your door, many are surprised to see it's wearing overalls, because you're going to find that it's work. Amen. It's work. It's discipline. It's self-control. Right now, I'm writing a book and learning self-control. I was supposed to have this thing done last month, and I'm still only half done this month. And I need to knuckle under and get it done, because I want it done by the spring. And I'm telling you, I'm learning something about self-control. And God's using this as a tool to tell me you need to prioritize your life, get some discipline in your life, and get in there and write this book. It isn't that I don't want to, because once I get set down, get the laptop going and computers moving and I get the flowing, man, I'm loving it. Oh, this is great. I can go 3-4 hours without nonstop. But the discipline of just going down there and getting started. And the rewards are going to be mighty if I can just get it done. We need some discipline and some self-control in our lives, don't we? Amen. And this is something that's built on the inside of us. Yeah, we bought a treadmill. I got on the internet. We did a bunch of research on the treadmill. Yeah, I mean, man, this thing's got all these different features. If this thing can make you healthier and more vibrant and do all these things for you. I mean, man, this thing is awesome. And so we finally found the one that we wanted. We went down, we bought that and brought it home. And it took me half the day to put it together and get it all set up. I mean, I was already feeling healthier after all that, putting it together. I says, man, this thing works. Got it all put together and everything else and set it up there in the living room and that. And weeks go by and I'm like going, well, I'm not feeling any healthier. I mean, there it is right there. And I ain't getting a darn thing out of this thing. What's the deal on that? And the insurance goes, well, you got to turn it on and get on the thing. I said, well, wait a minute. I didn't see that in the instructions when they were promising me all this good health. I didn't sign up for getting on the thing. And man, it takes self-control, some discipline to get on that treadmill and be healthy. Now, there's a bunch of people that are going, oh, my God, we're getting into the healthy. And the wife's going, and the husband's going, that's where we're at. I'm with you, brother. All right. So discipline in your spiritual life, in closing, it is going to affect the quality of our lives if we don't have self-control and discipline in our lives. Like, for instance, taking time to study and act on the Word. We need to spend time with God. We need to spend time in the Word. We need to be spending time praying and building our relationship with God. And it takes discipline. Go to Psalm 63 and verse 1. Psalm 63, 1. Says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Oh, I mean, there's precedence to getting up in the morning and, oh, the Word's telling me to get up in the morning early to seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Life is better when we seek God, isn't it? Yet we have to seek God to reap the benefits of that, don't we? So is there benefits to being disciplined enough to say, I'm going to spend time with God and I'm going to get up early? Now, for some people, early may be 6:30. Church night, we get up around 4, 4:30. That's a habit that we just got into when we were in college, because the only way that we could have the time between going to school, working, and having a church, it was the only time we could milk out of our day. So we started getting up that, and I just felt there was no reason for us to change. Once we got out of school and everything, we just continued to do the 4 o'clock thing. I continue to do the 4 o'clock thing. No, she does. She does. She gets up. She's over there going, but yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, but anyway, we need to have some discipline in our lives, and it benefits us, doesn't it? It's so beneficial for us. If we'd have just a little self-control and seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We'll get up early if the boss says, I want you in by 4 o'clock. You'd be up by 2 o'clock to make sure you were there to pursue the things of this world. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Set your day. I know a lot of people say, well, I'm not a morning person. Well, I'll tell you, just if you gave God 5 to 10 minutes in the morning, there's something about starting your day in fellowship with God. There's just something about it that sets the stage for the rest of your day. You could do it in the evening, but there's just something about it. Give it a try. Give it a try. God won't strike you if you don't. But just give it a try. 5 or 10 minutes, I challenge you. You'll find that your day goes better overall than if you just skipped it in the morning. I'm just saying, man, this is good advice. Amen. I'm going to invite you to read 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 10. So let's write that down, 2 Timothy 1 through 10. And he's talking about a disciplined follower, disciples. And he's given counsel to Timothy here, and he says, look, he says, I want you, in verse 3, that you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier. No one engages in war entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please he who enlists him as a soldier. And so also anyone competes in athletics. He is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Or a hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. So he's given counsel to him. Is that not all self-control? Is that not all disciplined? And yet the fruit of that, the benefit of that is enormous. When we become single-minded on the things of God, then everything else works out great. Praise God. Well, it's 11:30. Can I read you a couple of examples of soldiers and athletes? We got some time here. This is good. He said here, as a good soldier. Here's an example of a good soldier. This was in World War II. John Pender, Jr. He got the Medal of Honor. And this is what happened. On D-Day, technician 5th grade Pender landed on the coast 100 yards off the shore under devastating enemy machine gun and artillery fire, which caused severe casualties among the boatload. Carrying a vitally important radio, he struggled towards the shore in waist-deep water. Only a few yards from his craft, he was hit by enemy fire and was gravely wounded. Technician 5th grade Pender never stopped. He made sure and delivered the radio, refusing to take cover afforded or to accept medical attention for his wounds. Technical 5th grade Pender, through terribly weakened by loss of blood and in a fierce pain, on three occasions went into the fire-swept surf to salvage communication equipment. He recovered many vital parts and equipment, including another workable radio. On the third trip, he was hit again, suffering machine gun bullet wounds in his legs. Still, this valiant soldier would not stop for rest or medical attention, remaining exposed to heavy enemy fire, growing steadily weaker. He added in establishing a vital radio communications on the beach. While so engaged, this dauntless soldier was hit by a third time and killed. Wow. Is that a man who's dedicated, disciplined, and has self-control to the end? If he can do that for a combat situation, how much can we do that for our Father? To be willing to give of ourselves like that for our Heavenly Father. That's a disciplined soldier. Man. And Paul was telling Timothy, we need disciplined soldiers. Another thing he said is that we need, you know, to be an athlete. He says here that if we're, let me read that again. And so also, anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So here is an athlete. This is Sean Johnson. How many remember Sean Johnson in the Olympics years ago? 14-year-old Sean Johnson started taking gymnastics lessons when she was at age 3 years old. When I was little, I just did it because I loved it, Johnson said. When I started getting to the higher levels, I started thinking about making the elite teams. So I put in more hours and learned more skills. Can we as parents teach our kids discipline and self-control? And what it afforded her, because she learned this at an early age, her adulthood was full of self-control and discipline, and she benefited a great deal from it. Johnson was named the U.S. Junior National Team on August 2005, and now she has her eyes on the Olympic gold in Beijing Summer Games in 2008. Now look at this. The eighth grade in West Des Moines, Iowa, attends a full day of school before heading to the gym for four-hour workouts. Johnson spends 5 hours in the gym on Saturday and takes Sundays off. Practice consists of at least 30 minutes of conditioning, stretching. She usually arrives a half hour early for additional stretching. Like if all the hours that she puts in, she even goes in early so she can stretch. And endurance training, and about 50 minutes for each event. Johnson will compete extra tricks at the end of a routine during practice, and she runs to build endurance. Now understand, this is an eighth grader. Her strength training relies on her own body weight and exercises like push-ups, set-ups, squat jumps, and pull-ups, push-ups. For exercises like sit-ups, she usually does as many reps as she can for each exercise in 1 minute. Usually she goes about 30 pull-ups, although she reveals that she's done up to 100 at a time. This is an eighth grader. Guys, this is a girl. She says, we're not allowed to use weights. It doesn't give gymnasts the right proportions. Johnson's favorite event is the one-inch wide balance beam that sits 4 feet off the ground. She is working on a sequence of two back handsprings followed by a back layout full twist on the apparatus. Although new tricks still scare her even at this level, she's learned to manage her fears and trust her coach. They are always telling me they won't let me do anything if I wasn't ready or if I would get hurt, Johnson said. They always know when I am ready. She's learned to trust her coach. We need to learn how to trust God like that, don't we? This is an awesome testimony. We need to learn how to trust God in the same way. We need to know how to kind of dig in a little bit more than we ever have. As we're starting out a new year, we need to indulge in some self-control, don't we? There's some things that, you know, God has called us to, and we just haven't done them, just like me writing this book. I'm half into it. And we're never going to accomplish the things that God has for us until we develop self-control and discipline in our lives. But you know what? I know that once I finish this book, I'm going to be going, whoo, hallelujah, this is cool, and get the finished product in my hand, and I'm going, look at this book, this is awesome. And the hours that I put into this book, I mean, the satisfaction you get when you fulfill what God's called you to do, and all it takes is a little discipline, a little knuckling under. And some of us have spent years where God's called us to something, and we're like, well, I'll get to that later. We need to just knuckle under and get her done. Amen. And when we do, we're so satisfied out the other end. We're just like, wow, I should have done this a long time ago. I'm encouraging you. I'm not badgering you. I want you to succeed. I want you to have the best quality of life that you could have. And just a little self-control and a little diligence. Controlling our mouth, controlling our attitude, controlling the things that God has for us. And that we just stretch ourselves a little bit and go for it. I'm telling you, the rewards are mighty and awesome. Amen. Father, we just thank you and we just praise you that you have sown on the inside of us when we were born by the Spirit, that we picked up from you self-control and discipline for our lives, Lord, for our betterment, so that we can improve in our lives. So that, Lord, that after 15 years of being a Christian, we're still not just sticking our thumb in our mouth and pouting about things, but we're succeeding in the things you've called us to do. Not belly aching and going, man, I wish these things would come out. Instead of wishful thinking, we're actually getting something accomplished. And a little self-control is all we need. All we need is just a little discipline in our lives, saying no to the indulgence of our flesh and saying yes to the Spirit that's calling us to do mighty things in the earth for your purpose, Lord. And I know that as we're faithful with the little, you will give us much. Thank you, Lord. And I know that's the desire of so many of our hearts, that we're wanting to go further. We're wanting to do more. We're wanting to succeed in the things that of the desires of the heart that you've placed in there. And all it takes is just a little self-control, a little discipline, a little no to the flesh and yes to what the Spirit is calling us to do, that we could live another notch up in life and enjoy the things that you have for us, Lord. But we have to make that quality decision, that we're going to yield to the Spirit, that we're going to walk in the Spirit, and we're going to walk in self-control and discipline for our lives. And I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to muster this strength up in and of ourselves, Lord, but it's been sown on the inside of us, and the mighty Holy Spirit is there to help us. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we dedicate ourselves to self-control and to some diligence in our life, Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us the power to do it, to be able to rise up and accomplish the things that you've been calling us to do. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We just need to lean on the Spirit. That's all we need. We just need to be Spirit-minded. We need to be pursuing the things of the Spirit, pursuing God. It might start with 5 to 10 minutes in the morning, starting your day off, pursuing Him. That gives you that extra drive, that extra push that allows us to accomplish your purpose in the earth. That's our desire, Lord. We want to do that. So we thank you, Lord, for the power that you've invested in us to have that self-control and that discipline in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate you. We appreciate your Spirit helping us in this thing. Thank you, Lord. We're not alone. There may be somebody in here that's not born again.